Morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, where all are welcome. At least we try to make everyone be welcome, regardless. Okay, I'm going to have a hard time looking at people with hats on, but I have my own. not looking at you, but not cracking up. This is going to be a fun, joyous morning. I always encourage people to come to more than one service if this is one of your first times here or your first time here, because they are all very different. They are led by myself, Sandy Ingham, the consulting minister here, or by people from outside the congregation in the wider community, or by any number of people within the congregation. We welcome you no matter what your religious beliefs, well, maybe not Satanism, and we welcome you no matter what your ethnicity, skin color, your sexual preference. We try to be very welcoming. Susan, if you would light the chalice, please. And again, the words that I am going to say are written by John Burens, adapted by myself. Blessed are those who yearn for deepening more than escape, who can renounce smugness and be shaken in conscience, who are not afraid to grow in spirit. May their light, represented by the lighting of this chalice, shine brightly. Blessed are those who support the church, the society, and its work by their regular, sustained, and generous giving, and who give of themselves no less than their money. May their light, represented by this chalice lighting, continue to shine brightly. And blessed are those who bring, not send, their children, who invite their friends to come along, to join in fellowship, service, learning, and growth. May their inner lights keep on shining. I'd like to share a short reading with you this morning, titled Other Than What, written by Unitarian Universalist minister David Blanchard. He writes, "Not too long ago, I was signing in at a local hospital when I noticed something that had escaped me before. While checking to see if the parishioner I had come to visit had been transferred to another room, I saw that in the clergy register, she had been transferred to another denomination, other. I can think of three good reasons why the hospital should move us out of the margins of otherdom. For one, there are 21 letters in our merged Unitarian Universalist name. Other is short, with only 5. Then there is the fact that in numbers, we account for something less than an asterisk of the total population. But when you put all us others together, we account for something, perhaps even a majority. Last, though we religious liberals are sometimes loath to admit it, we often find some degree of comfort in our obscurity. You know, quote, if you were properly progressive and open-minded, you'd know who we were. And if you don't, well then, we're not so sure you belong here." End of quote. In the 19th century, the liberal Christians in the Congregational Church adopted as their own the pejorative name given them by the Orthodox. They accepted and became organized around the name Unitarian. "During my hospital visit," says Blanchard, "my parishioner and I laughed a bit about the possibilities should our congregation become known as the First Other Church." A good graphic artist could easily fashion a chalice design inside the O for our logo. People who heard our new name would likely be more curious than confused. The modest 2 syllables of other would certainly be easier than the 10 we currently use. We could collectively save much breath. I personally, says Blanchard, think the people who fashioned the merger of 1961 could have made matters much simpler had they found a shorter and more meaningful name for the new Association of Congregations. But for reasons that probably made sense at the time, they didn't. In the big picture, this is not a problem. What we are about as a religious movement is far more important than what we are called. But there is some level at which I'm not comfortable being the minister of an other religion. Other than what? That we are different from many orthodox expressions of faith, I can accept and affirm. But the notion that we others, be we Unitarian Universalists, Baha'is, Muslims, Friends, etc., are less than, diminished, marginalized because of our differences or differentness is something I won't accept. We are an alternative path for spiritual understanding and religious expression, religious being defined in a very broad sense. We are not an alternative to those grounding endeavors. Our work together, concludes Blanchard, is in finding ways to extend the understanding and practice of liberal religion in our own lives, in the lives of our communities, and maybe even in the lives of those who decide who's a who and who's an other. We are an alternative path for spiritual understanding and religious expression. We are not an alternative to those grounding endeavors, writes Blanchard. Being an effective alternative path for that which ultimately concerns us, being a meaningful, safe, warm place in which to celebrate the mystery of life and build a caring community requires a thoughtful, smooth-running operation. So this morning I want to explore briefly organizations in general and the structure of Prairie in particular. What makes Prairie tick? I don't mean theologically. I mean, how does Prairie stay in existence? What is our infrastructure? What takes place on a very basic, behind the scenes, nitty-gritty level here? First, some disclaimers and caveats. I want to emphasize that anything I say this morning is in no way to be taken as criticism of Prairie's organization. I have observed you for about a year now, and I think that your basic underlying structure is in very good shape. I know that the bylaws have been revised recently. Did you know that? You know, bylaws get everybody so excited, but they're so necessary. And I know that currently the policies and procedures are being revised and in some cases rewritten. Your past boards and committees are to be commended for doing the hard, necessary work to get this organization where it is today. And the same goes for our current board and current committees. The next step is to build on what has been done and make Prairie even better organized and running even more smoothly so that we can do amazing things, both right here in this community and out in the wider world. In other words, let's ratchet it up. Not every committee is represented at a table this morning. The caring committee sort of out there on its own, very effective, but it's organized a little differently. It doesn't recruit in quite the same way. This is also true of the Committee on Ministry, known COM. Did you even know you had a Committee on Ministry? Also known as the Ministerial Relations Committee. If you want to know more about these committees that don't have a table, please talk to me or to Barb Park, our president, or anybody else you can find who you think might know this. I am ignoring the board in my remarks today and concentrating on just on committees, but many board people, in fact, I'd say almost all of them, are on committees as well. There are tasks, jobs being done here every week, especially on Sundays, by volunteers who aren't exactly on a committee, the most obvious being our teachers. And finally, wearing more than one committee hat, don't see any of you doing that yet, we'll aim for that next year, more than one hat. Wearing more than one hat is strongly encouraged and is very doable. Let's start by acknowledging that working within organizations, whether they are dependent on volunteers or not, is challenging. They tend to be much more challenging when volunteers are the mainstay of the institution. I mean, what are we going to do, fire you? We humans are often quirky and occasionally zany. In other words, we humans can be difficult. We can find ourselves side by side with people who annoy us, puzzle us, exasperate us, even though we are all working towards something that we strongly believe in. This is our training ground, the place where we can learn how to honor zaniness and quirkiness without letting our individual personalities deflect us from the pursuit of our goals. Here, we can practice focusing on the larger picture even when we get in each other's way. It all begins right here, right in this building. If we can't get along here in this organization and embrace the joy and mystery that go into building and sustaining an organization that has high aspirations, then how can we, or why would we, expect other organizations with even more loftier goals to do so, like the United Nations. Let's exempt Congress for right now. We have to make cooperation and superb organization happen here first, before we can successfully take these attributes out into the larger community. The first set of initials I use in the title of today's reflections is UN, for United Nations. October 24th is United Nations Day. Our October 27th service will commemorate that day. When I was in my teens, I think I was in love with all things related to the United Nations. I have mentioned before that my best friend in high school and I would bicycle along the Allegheny River in the town in which we lived in Northwest Pennsylvania. We would go to a place called Big Rock, because it was a big rock, overlooking the river, and we would have long conversations about solving world problems and ending war. I believed that the United Nations would succeed in creating world peace, and I still believe that, though with a lot more reservations. This was the second time in my growing up years that I was aware of what an effective, caring community could accomplish. The first time was within the Presbyterian Church community, where my parents and grandparents were members. I didn't know Ruby May then, but I aspired to be her. I was going to be the one to say, "My friends, leader of the world, my message to you is simple. To achieve universal peace and understanding on this planet, you have only to speak plainly, even though you may look foolish." This is 1,000 times better than looking good and talking nonsense, which we might be able to apply to many occasions. Perhaps not surprisingly, when it was time to go to college, I began my college career in the School of International Service at American University in Washington, D.C. I was going to be a diplomat. I still am trying. Let's go down a notch in talking about organizations to a smaller one, but one with very large ambitions, telling the world about Unitarian Universalism. The second set of letters I used is UUA, for Unitarian Universalist Association. The UUA, not surprisingly, has played an important part in my life. And the last time I was up here in the pulpit, which was in mid-September, I thought that I was going to say some provocative things about Prairie and the UUA. Well, you might ask, why would I do such a thing? Well, to make things a little more lively, in case you were falling asleep, for one thing, but more importantly, to challenge you, because Prairie, rightly or wrongly, has a reputation of being anti-institutional, of not wanting anything to do with the Central Midwest District, now a region, or the Unitarian Universalist Association. I certainly have had my issues and confrontations with the larger association, but I have finally gotten to a point where I believe we do ourselves a huge disservice if and when we ignore the UUA. But at any rate, I didn't pursue that line of thought in September, and I won't be doing so today, even though last Sunday, October 6th, was Association Sunday, when we as congregations within the association were supposed to, of course, you know, Boston can't tell us what to do, but it was strongly suggested that we focus our service last week on the Unitarian Universalist Association, and in particular, around the new building. Did you know that Boston has moved its headquarters, or is in the process of moving from Beacon Street, which breaks my heart, but I think they probably needed a new building. And the collection that day, last Sunday, was supposed to have been taken and given to the UUA. We'll tackle that on another day. I think there are similarities between the United Nations and the Unitarian Universalist Association. They're both working with groups that have little in common, at least on the surface. Both take a fair amount of mostly unwarranted, though not entirely so, they take a lot of flack from the very entities that make up their communities. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard someone complain about the UUA. Getting to where we are now as an organization was a long, complicated, often rocky process. Way back, between 1818 and 1825, we were just a very loose bunch of ministers and congregations. We were defined largely by our opponents. I think we still have this problem of letting those who don't understand what we are define who we are. How many times have you defended or justified Unitarian Universalism by what we are not rather than by what we are? In the early 1800s, as many of you know, the American Unitarian Association emerged out of this ambivalence about being organized, but it wasn't much of an organization then. Only individuals belonged to it, not churches. And it wasn't supposed to serve congregations, but it was supposed to spread the word about Unitarian, Unitarians at that point, Universalists hadn't joined us yet. But not very long after the AUA was founded, the Calvinists, oh, those Calvinists, I was raised, you know, Presbyterian, so I know about those Calvinists, who are also referred to as Orthodox Christians at this time period, or just Orthodox, the Orthodox, they began to pick on the more liberal Christians, the ones who would become Unitarians. They charged that Unitarianism was lukewarm to religion, to morality, to piety, that Unitarians catered to fashionable society, and that as a consequence of Unitarian dominance, vice and crime had increased in Boston, and moral values were in decline. Furthermore, claimed the Calvinists, the Unitarians, even though they were a minority in the state of Massachusetts, had somehow managed to gain control of the political structures of the state. I think they had good PR, those Orthodox. As a result of these false claims, the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts was amended in 1834 to allow for the separation of church and state. That was the last place in the country where it was not separated, where taxes went to the established church, which was the Congregational Church, and all the established churches, the Calvinists. Okay, actually, Unitarians were against this disestablishment. Well, no more financial support from those taxes. The good news is we continue to be called Unitarians rather than anti-disestablishmentarians. I think our name is long now. By 1886, our movement was enlightened enough, at least in the Western Conference part, to stop defining itself as exclusively Christian. And the Western Conference also dropped any theological requirements for membership in the congregations of that conference. And as I said last month, this opened the door, our doors, to our congregations, to agnostics, and even, presumably, to atheists. And it also opened the door for yet more charges and claims of our being immoral and the cause of decline in moral values and the increase in crime. Implied and assumed in all these rules and principles that our spiritual ancestors were trying to develop in the 19th century and that we're still working on developing is the necessity of having a strong organization to not only spread the good news of Unitarianism and Universalism, but also to be out there in the world, which the UUA is. I don't know how many of you read The World, the magazine that is put out by our bigger organization, by the UUA. We have a representative at the UN, we have a representative in Washington, we are out there, even though we struggle with, what does the UUA do for us? We should celebrate this organization. I don't think we've always done that, and I don't mean right here at Prairie, we UUs. Let's go down one more step on the ladder, not down a step in importance, but down a step in size, to Prairie UU Society. Initially, that was going to be my third set of initials there in the title of my reflections, but P-U-U-S? I think we should change our name, or at least that last word, and I'm not kidding. I mean this. We use initials a lot throughout the denomination. But that's a topic for another day. So I settle on PVF for Prairie Volunteer Fair. When we become part of an organization, especially a nonprofit one that depends on volunteers to stay alive, we have certain expectations of that organization, and the organization has certain expectations of us. Prairie is, if you hadn't noticed, you should have noticed, Prairie is in the midst of its annual canvas, that time of year when we ask you to pledge to keep this place open. Because we, myself, the board, the committees, and the rest of the staff, have expectations that you will contribute time as well as money to keep us healthy and thriving, we decided we would have the volunteer fair at the same time as our annual fundraising. You have index cards, you should, on your chairs. And they're for you to write a question if you want to, or a complaint, or a suggestion for any of the committees, and take that card then to the appropriate table. The tables are all around the edges. Find the committee that you wrote your complaint, question, suggestion on, and give it to them. They might not be able to answer you right now, today, because hopefully the things will be a little busy at the tables. So we want you to visit the tables to take the time. And that brings us to the last set of letters, which isn't an abbreviation. The letters are exactly what they look like. They spell the word you. We want you to take the time before leaving today to visit as many tables as possible, not just because there will be snacks on the tables, but to learn more about what each committee does and how Prairie's organized and what's the relationship of the board to the committees and how can you help the committees. We want you then to seriously consider signing up to be part of a committee. And as soon as each one of you has done that, we will unlock the outside doors and let you go home. Now, I know that I am possibly walking a fine line here between working up your enthusiasm and guilt-tripping you. It's good Presbyterianism there. And we do welcome beliefs from all over. I want to be very clear that I do understand that not everyone can volunteer to be on a committee or on the board for various reasons. And I also understand that there are always times in any of our lives when we might want to be a volunteer, but other things are going on. Stuff happens, and it's not possible to be doing that right now. I want to be equally clear that being on a committee can mean many different things. It does not necessarily mean that you have to attend monthly meetings. There are all sorts of tasks that need doing to keep a church, an organization such as this, running smoothly. One of our goals for you this morning is that you'll realize that as you visit the different tables. Keeping an organization healthy and being mindful of the needs that people have and aware of the fact that people clash a lot, this is hard work. It is often a mystery to me that organizations work at all. And when they do, it is also a joy. Committees are a wonderful way to meet people, to deepen friendships, to find joy and delight in working toward common goals. What if we had no committees? What if we weren't here? What if you assumed that Prairie was here because it has been here for a long time now? Where's that mic? The handheld mic. Okay. Pretend that our committees have all disappeared. Humor me and try to tap into some zaniness of your own as I do a riff on It's a Wonderful Life. What if you came here on Sunday and found the doors locked? No, there wouldn't be any doors to lock because the building wouldn't be here. Or if it were here, let's pretend it's here but in disrepair because Gary's Buildings and Grounds Committee doesn't exist. And you can't go next door to see if there's anyone in the newly purchased house because the ad hoc committee doesn't exist, the one that's going to get that house ready to use. But I don't know this. And here I am. And I'm here with five little children. Yes, five. They're not mine. But I found them and they need religious education. Where are the teachers? Where are the people who will impart religious education to these little tykes? Susan, where's the committee? Oh, there are no committees. Okay. I tell myself, stay calm, and maybe I'll just take the children and we'll find a worthy cause. But there's so many worthy causes out there. I don't know which one to pick. Oh, well, just go ask Molly in the Social Justice Committee. But where are they? Where's that committee? I would help with that prison project thing, but you're not there. And obviously I can't do that. So much for my zany hat. But okay, where's that cash I gave so that we could join Moses, huh? Kathy, where's the cash? Where are the checks? Oh, there's no finance committee. I have no idea where I stand with my pledge. Okay, well, let me try something else. What, you say, the finance committee? They don't care? Oh, they're not there. Well, I think I will find that. Kids go play outside. Kids are outside. The membership committee. Aaron, Heidi. I don't know if Heidi's here, but Aaron's definitely here with her hat. I have some ideas for the membership committee. And when's that next meeting? That new orientation thing. I want to go to that. I want to share some of my experience, but there is no membership committee. Penny, program committee. I have some great ideas for a Sunday morning service, but I can't find you. I better. But there wasn't anybody to greet me at the door this morning either. And when I came into this building that's in disrepair. I know. I'll volunteer to help with one Sunday morning because those PC program committee folks keep bugging me to do that. It's not that they're politically correct, it's just the program committee. But I can't find them either. And that maybe the communications committee can help straighten up this mess. But we don't have a communications committee to send out the word via Prairie News or Views. Okay, how about Phyllis? Could you please contact the district or the Boston and say we've got a mess here, we don't have any committees. You don't exist either. Oh, I need a cup of coffee or tea or something.
Where's the kitchen? There's no coffee. Oh, no. There is no coffee. I'm quite sure that somehow, automatically, mysteriously, coffee appears all by itself every Sunday morning. The same with soup on Soup Sundays. And I believe we have some sign-up sheets. Do we not, Barbara? Might they be right here? Well, why don't you pass them around right now? Now, I know that there are people who don't like that. And I'm actually one of them who don't like passing around sign-up sheets because it, well, for a number of reasons, it can disrupt the service. It also is not particularly spiritual, although I suppose it could be sacred and spiritual. And it puts people on the spot, and we're getting dangerously close to guilt tripping again. But we haven't figured out a better way to do it. So if you have a better way to get people to sign up to do coffee or work on Soup Sunday soups, let us know. Okay. I'm going home now. I'm bereft of community spirit, lacking in sacred moments. I'm empty and sad. I'm not energized one little bit. I'm not motivated to go out and do things in the world. I'm not moved by anything or challenged because there are no committees.
Don't let this happen to you. Support your committees. Blessed are those who know that the work of the church, this place we call a society and some call a fellowship, the work is the transformation of the larger society. Blessed are those who have a vision of beloved community transcending the present and who do not shrink from controversy, sacrifice, or change. Blessed are those who speak their minds in meetings, who can take and give criticism, who keep alive their sense of humor. Blessed are those who, when asked to serve, do it gladly, who realize that change is brought about through human meeting, and who do the dull work of committees and stay till the end. Blessed are they indeed. Now you are being asked to go out and do good things. Go snack, maybe sign up for some things, and enjoy. Go greet your neighbors.